11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the latest edition of the Championship Podcast here with William Hill. It's Dave Kellner joined by a regular Championship pundit. Pete Farris is with me here, well, in an auxiliary studio. First of all, good afternoon, Mr. Farris.
Good afternoon, Mr. Kellner. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm looking forward to what could be, what will be a decisive week in the Championship season. We've got some pivotal matches to look at, Pete.
We've got some huge matches, of course. We've got all the games at the very top of the echelons. These three sides all fighting out for those automatic promotion places and, of course, the league title as well. At the bottom, well, not a great deal to maybe sift through. But for me, there's some great value this week because not only will we be looking at the top of the table clashes, of course, but also one or two games where, I've got to say, I think there might be quite a bit of value.
Okay, I'm looking forward to hearing about that value in a few moments' time. We start on Friday night with Birmingham versus Middlesbrough. 7:45 kick-off this one. Birmingham 6-1 to win the game. The draw is 3-1 with Middlesbrough in the betting at 1-2. Loads of enhanced odds offers for this match. Clayton Donaldson to score and Birmingham to win is 16-1. Jordan Rhodes to score and Middlesbrough to win is 6-4. If you fancy Rhodes to score and Middlesbrough to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1, that was 3-1, it's now 7-2. Donaldson to score and Birmingham to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 was 12-1, it's now 14s. And if you like Donaldson to score, Birmingham to win and both teams to score, it's 20s. And Rhodes to score, Middlesbrough to win and both teams to score, it's now 9-2. Pete, Middlesbrough, good draw at Burnley. One apiece last Tuesday, and maybe a disappointing draw at home against Ipswich 0-0 at the weekend. And three teams locked together on 87 points here, but Middlesbrough trying to break out of that deadlock at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, before we get to the minutiae of this market, I do think, and I'm probably spoiling all three of the games we're about to talk about, but I do think Middlesbrough, Burnley and Brighton are likely to be victorious in their games over the course of this weekend, starting, of course, on this game on Friday and going through to Monday. Borough have won, what, 6 of the last 10 away from home. They aren't the best side in the world. I stand by the fact they're still not particularly brilliant. As you quite rightly said, they were a bit unlucky with that draw at Burnley, a 90th-minute equaliser from Sean Dyche's men. They beat Bolton, but don't forget it took until the 90th minute to do that. And, of course, they beat QPR 3-2 away from home as well. I've got to say, probably a little bit undeserved. But there was one little market there straight away that I felt was of real value here, and that's match goals. 76th minute to full-time, yes, at 21-20. It landed in that game against Burnley. It landed in the game against Bolton. It landed in the game against QPR. These are away from home, of course. It landed in the game against Charlton. It landed in the game against Rotherham. It landed twice in the game against Blackburn. So you are looking now at the fact in Burnley, Bolton, QPR, Charlton, Rotherham, Blackburn, that's landed in the last 6 Borough away games. And you're getting 21-20 for that. So I thought, well, let's have a quick look at the other side of things then. Because, of course, you know, every story has two sides, Dave. The story of your drinking excess, for example, has two sides.
I think that's just got one side and it's bad. It's on my back. That's the side.
That is true. But suddenly it was, well, hang on. It landed in Birmingham's game against Huddersfield. It landed in their game against Preston. It landed in their game against Burnley. Didn't land against Leeds, fair enough, or Birmingham, but there's enough of a trend there to suggest that 21-20 would be of real interest. Now, in terms of the game, I do think Borough win it. I don't think they batter Birmingham. It's not really Aitor Karanka's style anyway, but yes, they beat Fulham 2-0, and you know, Huddersfield, Ipswich, Brighton, I suppose, all away from home were beaten. But at this stage of the season, it's not a case of let's just rip into teams. Aitor Karanka, a little bit like his father figure in football, if you will, Mr. Mourinho, he just wants the job done. He just wants the job done. So I had a little look here at Borough by a goal as well. Birmingham +1, Borough -1 at 12-5. Borough have played 5 Friday night games this season, Dave. Do you know how many of those 5 they've won?
I'll go with 2.
All 5.
Have they?
Okay. All five they have won this season. So they're a team who like to do it on a Friday night in terms of football. Rose's score on Borough to win has been enhanced. I don't mind that. You know, he's got a couple in his last away games, hasn't he? Three in his last two away. Don't mind that 6-4. Don't actually mind the other enhanced odd here of Rhodes to score, Borough to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 because I fancy a tight win. But also with both teams to score landing in the Borough's last three away from home, Birmingham's last three at home, you might want to look at Rhodes to score, Borough to win and both teams to score at 9-2 on the enhanced odds as well. Because even though I've just mentioned a market with 1-0 and 2-0 in there, that's because I love these bracket markets where you think, I think it'll just be tight and narrow and they'll get the job done. The record of both teams to score is there. You might want to do that. But ultimately for me, Dave, Borough are the sides you're backing here at 1-2. I know it's the Championship. I know they've been disappointing at times on the road this season. But I just think now they will have enough to narrowly, and I repeat narrowly, get by Birmingham.
Answer me this, Pete. At the top of that preview, you said that you don't think Middlesbrough are the greatest side in the world. What's wrong with Middlesbrough as a football team?
Very good question, Dave. I don't like the fact that he has basically all season not really budged from the 4-2-3-1 that at times hasn't worked. They, you know, have beaten teams 2-3-0, but if you look at it in terms of performances, Borough actually haven't torn through loads of teams. There's not been anyone they've kind of really ploughed past. We know, of course, of the problems there's been off the field this season. He at times has not started the likes of Forshaw as much as I, in my personal opinion, would have done. And again, also, if you look at Aitor Karanka's time at Middlesbrough, there's been a huge player turnover on loan, ins and outs, etc., etc. So, I know Jordan Rhodes, they spent a lot of money on Jordan Rhodes. I think despite a good little bit of form recently, he's got to be considered at the moment a bit of a disappointment. Outside of that, Nugent, not really getting a lot of football, but when he hasn't torn it up. They just get the job done. It is, and I don't think it's fair to always relate Aitor Karanka to Jose Mourinho, but it is a very kind, it's that kind of team. But listen, defensively, I think they're very good. I think that goalkeeper-wise, Dimi Konstantinopoulos, I always struggle with that one, is not the best, nor Agatsi or Mejias. They're a weird side because ultimately the argument is they could get to 93 points this season and win the title, in which case, are they a bad team? To which the answer is no. But are they a team that you would rely on massively an awful lot? I still don't think so.
Okay, Bolton next up. Bolton versus Hull. 6-1 Bolton to win the game. The draw 17-5, Hull 4-9. This is the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday afternoon, 12:30. Enhanced odds, Zach Clough to score and Bolton to win was 11-1, enhanced to 16-1. And Abel Hernandez to score and Hull to win was 23-20, is now 6-4. Hull got the job done the other night, on Tuesday night, in fact, against Brentford, winning 2-0, despite many changes to that team. And I don't think Abel Hernandez started that match either, Pete. 4-9 Hull to win away at Bolton, looking to consolidate fourth spot in the league really now.
Yeah, they'll know it's obviously not definite, but it's probable they'll play Derby, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
That, like I said, that they'll know kind of what's generally going to happen. They obviously can't catch Brighton, Borough or Burnley on 87 points. Sheffield Wednesday, with two games left to play, can't catch Hull. So whatever happens, really, Hull will play Derby, and then Wednesday will play whoever else finishes in that third position come the end of the season. I think he'll make a couple more changes as well. But, Dave, I mean, the fact is that Bolton's form, you know, they have played a little bit better of late. Some of the performances have been a bit better. It certainly was the other day in their 3-2 loss. Their 2-1 loss against their Cardiff, I should say, sorry. But do you want to back him?
No. I think they're impossible to back, aren't they?
Dave, because I'll offer you 33-1 in this game that Bolton win. However, of course, it's a max stake of a penny.
I would back them at 33-1, but I don't know if 6-1 is big enough, Pete.
It's not, is it? The Championship is a weird and wonderful league. And yes, you could argue that Hull, all their focus now on their probable game against Derby.
And they're likely to rest players as well,
likely
perhaps.
So you could say, well, do you know what? I think Bolton will win this. But ultimately, you can't back them. You can't. You absolutely can't. Because the fact of the matter is that Hull, even if they changed the 11 players and had a weakened side out, Bolton are in such disarray generally that you'd still back Hull. Now, 4-9, given the team, is fair. Given the situation, is probably a tad short. but is still entirely and utterly backable. It really is. I mean, it comes down to being as absolutely simple as that. Bolton, of course, haven't won any game since the 6th of February, of course. That's a 2-1 victory over Rotherham. And at home, if we're fair, you know, haven't lost swathes and swathes of games pretty much until their relegation was pretty much assured. And then Burnley and Borough, fair enough. But Reading, Preston, a draw against Ipswich, a draw 0-0 against Charlton. Hull will win this game. I mean, for me, there's no doubt. I wouldn't be going mad on it. I'd maybe have another look at the buy a goal. Hull, of course, -1, Bolton +1 at 13-5. Again, just to get it done. And I'd take a little look as well at Sam Clucas at 5-2. He was included in the Football League Championship 15 in the last few weeks. He's had a great season. He's been arguably one of the signings of the season in the Championship for the amount of money they actually paid for him, Hull. And 5-2 anytime. Yeah, 6 league goals isn't tons. I'm sure somewhere our in-play radio colleague Dave Tindall's screaming at me. Shut up. 5-2 anytime, Sam Clucas is quite a good price. And Zach Clough, arguably one of the very few sort of saleable assets that Bolton have got. Anytime 11-4, scored in that game against Cardiff. But I'd go Hull, double result, 23-20. And ultimately, you know, you're looking at Hull 1-0, Hull 2-0. Basically, Hull to win narrowly.
Thank you, Pete. We've looked at the two live games on Friday and Saturday lunchtime. Let's talk about the non-televised fixtures on Saturday before we move on to Bank Holiday Monday. And we'll start with the game at Hillsborough, Sheffield Wednesday versus Cardiff. Sheffield Wednesday 21-20. The draw in the betting at 12-5 with Cardiff in the market at 13-5. Obviously, it will be an emotional fixture, this one, Pete. And Sheffield Wednesday looking to hang on to that sixth place in the league and that that playoff spot. They've not been performing brilliantly in recent weeks, Sheffield Wednesday. Drawn the last three, and prior to that, they'd been beaten 4-1 against Bristol City. Cardiff kept their playoff hopes alive with a 2-1 win against Bolton last Saturday.
Yeah, and of course, again, you know, Cardiff will know if they beat Sheffield Wednesday, there's a real opportunity here, won't they? You know, I can't see it happening. I mean, I know we said earlier on the preview that the Wednesday have got the playoff place. I suppose theoretically they haven't. But a draw really is good enough for them here, isn't it? They've got a draw against Ipswich, of course, a draw against the MK Dons. They drew 1-1 against Derby in what was an OK game last Saturday in the early kickoff. But I'm backing Sheffield Wednesday again here. I've made a lot of money this season off Sheffield Wednesday. It's one of the few sort of success stories, betting-wise, for me.
I can't believe that, Pete.
Sorry?
I can't believe that.
Well, don't get me to mention Piers Wanger-Unporn. But but other than that, I mean, Cardiff have won, what, 5 away games all season at Bristol City, 20th in the league. Huddersfield, you know, 16th in the league. Wolves, you know, low mid-table, and at Bolton. Do I think Cardiff are going to be able to do that? No, especially, as you quite rightly said, in what's been an understandably very emotionally charged week at Hillsborough. I can't be ignoring the 21-20 on Sheffield Wednesday. Listen, Cardiff will be going for it. And actually, you've had a very strange season in that, you know, I'm a man who looks at the Championship almost every day of my life. And yet, I don't remember Cardiff having big, brilliant runs of form. They just tick over nicely and, you know, get the job done. It was an amazing stat I read the other day, in fact, that they've won twice in a row, only once since September.
Right, okay.
And yet here they are in seventh.
Yeah, it's weird, that, isn't it?
I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy they've managed to do that. But they have, and they deserve some credit for that. You know, you win more than you lose, or you know, you win more than you lose or draw, or you win and draw more than you lose, and you're gonna be okay at the end of the season. Fernando Forestieri, 15 goals this season, 13-10 any time. This is almost kind of my victory lap for Fernando Forestieri in terms of backing him. It's been a good season. Also, do think that Cardiff are gettable from set pieces, so maybe have a little look further down the list. Someone like Glenn Lovins at 12s, Turner at 12s, Lees at 12s. These guys who aren't really your regular goal scorers, but I do think Cardiff are gettable at times from set pieces. I wouldn't be against both teams to score. You know, you look at Cardiff having scored in four of their last five away games. Wednesday having conceded in three of their last five at home. So Wednesday and both teams to score at 16-5. And I suppose the thing here that might worry you a little bit is the fact that the draw is good enough for Wednesday.
Yes.
Takes them 72, takes Cardiff 68. Playoffs absolutely guaranteed. Let's all go home. But I think there'll be enough about Wednesday to suggest that odds against is probably a fair price. If this was at Cardiff, it would be a completely different kettle of fish for me. However, it's not.
And just for full transparency, listeners, I know that many of you might just tune into the Championship podcast each and every week, and you'll have heard Pete mention Pia Swanger-Unporn just momentarily in the commentary there. He was a golfer that you tipped at 500-1, Pete, who finished second, and that was about 6 weeks ago now, perhaps?
Yeah, and he was of course leading until the last two holes when Scott Hend came through. Dave, of course, they would know more about this, Dave, if you let me on the golf podcast. but apparently that's never going to happen because you're some kind of dictator control freak.
I'm a tyrant, Pete. I'm a tyrant. I did say if he'd have won that golf tournament, you were more than welcome to join us. But he just fell short, unfortunately, for you and for the listeners.
Yeah, no, I know that, Dave. But since then, SSP Shaw Razor, of course. I've had a fair few, but of course, people aren't going to know that on the golf podcast because I'm not allowed on.
thank you, Mr. Farries. Let's move on. We'll have a look at Reading versus Preston next. Reading 23-20, the draw 11-5 with Preston in the betting at 13-5. Again, 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. This one. Reading are 15th in the league, picked up 52 points from their 44 games. Preston, 6 points better off in 11th in the league. And these two teams in pretty indifferent form at the moment, Pete.
Yeah, they are. But for me, if you, Dave, tell you what, ask me who's the manager of the season in the Championship.
Who is the manager?
It's Simon Grayson, Dave.
Of the season.
It's Simon Grayson.
In the Championship.
I keep looking at the fact that Sean Dyche has been brilliant. I don't think you can give it to a man who walked out and said, I'm not managing you. In Aitor Karanka. Chris Hughton, of course, brilliant. They were unbeaten for so long.
Warnock?
Well, Warnock's got to be up there with what he did with Rotherham, you know, fair enough. But for a man who went in on purely, I mean, the guy had pennies to spend. And yet, Preston have not only finished 11th, but they have at absolutely 0 point of this season, pretty much, looked like they'd go down. I've said this on a couple of podcasts for a couple of weeks now. I think it's absolutely exceptional, the job he's done this season there. I think it's absolutely exceptional. And I think they're good value here this weekend, Preston North End. First and foremost, I like the price. 13-5, I think, is quite big. Now, Reading, for a long time at the Medeski, were very, very hard to beat. I mean, going as far as, the beginning of 2016, there's very few teams who'd won there. Brentford, QPR, Derby being the only three in the first half of the year. And in the second half of the year, only two teams have won there, Birmingham and Hull. But what's the interesting thing about Birmingham and Hull and those two victories, Dave?
Go on.
They were the last two home games.
Right, okay.
And in fact, if you look at 2016 generally, Reading have won only three times at home, beating Rotherham, who at the time were in trouble, Forest and Bristol City. And actually, barring their home victory over Middlesbrough and Ipswich, they've not really beaten anyone of real note at the Medeski this season. Mm. Now, while Preston away from home haven't been amazing particularly, look at them of late. Losing at Cardiff's no shame, Forest was bad. Losing 1-0 at Borough was absolutely not remotely atrocious because they played very well in that. Also, if you're Reading right now, they're checked out. For Preston, there's still more possible glory to come to a certain extent. If they can get into that top 10, that is an unbelievable season. It's an unbelievable season. And without being funny, there will be some players in that side who have top 10 bonuses and et cetera, et cetera. Reading, you know, they could move, I think, as high as I think it's 12th, but probably won't. They've lost the last two games at home. And Preston are scoring on the road as well. Hit two at Birmingham, albeit a 2-2 draw. Hit two at Wolves, two at Bolton, two at Blackburn Rovers. 13-5 for me is far too big. Well, maybe not far too big, but far too attractive to ignore. 13-8 draw no bet is absolutely, for me anyway, a delicious looking bet. It really is such a good looking bet. And if you want a goal scorer, there's two that I'd have a little look at. The first being Jordan Hugill, who's 14-5 anytime, scored in two of the last three away games for Preston North End. And have a little look as well at Adam Reach. This lad, for me, who's on loan from Middlesbrough, should be in the Borough first team. I don't think he should be in the Preston first team. He should be in the Middlesbrough one right now. But 16-5 any time, Adam Reach would also be worth a look. But I actually think they're a big price, and therefore, with a draw, no bet security on your side, they should be your play.
Very good. Let's have a look at Bristol City versus Huddersfield next. Bristol City 11-8, the draw 12-5 with Huddersfield in the market at 19-10. Bristol City 10 points clear of MK Dons, in no danger of going down this season. Huddersfield are just a couple of points better off in 16th in the league. Bristol City come into this game on the back of a 2-2 draw at Ewood Park against Blackburn last weekend, Huddersfield have drawn their last couple of games, away at Rotherham and at home against Birmingham, both one apiece. And prior to that, they'd been in good form, winning at Ewood Park and drawing against Hull City. And when you consider Hull a fourth in the league, that's a good point against Hull as well. So unbeaten in four, Huddersfield now.
Yeah, listen, again, David Wagner would be up there as well for men who did brilliant jobs. I mean, Huddersfield looked down and out. He went in, again, something I've said an awful lot on the podcast, but he sorted the fitness out and they've managed to get themselves a long old way away from relegation. Two sides with, two home wins in the last five for Bristol City and two home wins in the last five away from home for Huddersfield. And two impressive ones for Huddersfield, hit four at Leeds. And, of course, beat Blackburn, which is, OK, should be doing, but it was still a decent result. For Bristol City, they absolutely trashed Bolton, OK, but then they had a phenomenal win, 4-1 themselves, over Sheffield Wednesday. The first market here, though, you know, with looking at the actual form lines, is the overs on the goals. Look at Bristol City at home recently. 5-5-2-6. Huddersfield away, 5-3-2-1. Sorry, 2-2, I should say. So, you know, a little less on their side. But if you get inside with not a huge amount to lose, both want to have a real crack at it. Total match goals over 2.5. It actually was 10-11 this morning. It's 8-11 now. So some kind of psychic traders there. but I like that 8-11. I really do. And I like Huddersfield here. Again, I just think that they're a side who can pull off good victories at times. And yeah, Bristol City at home have been, you know, second half of the season especially, very decent. Borough, Ipswich have both fallen here. But if you're talking to me right now about this game, a game where we're expecting goals, end-to-end stuff, where Huddersfield have been just as good as Bristol City, if you're looking at away-to-home form, and you're giving me 19-10 on Huddersfield, even though it's not a huge, huge, huge amount more than 11-8, you're still getting draw no better odds against here at 11-10. Now, I've already said, I've shown my hand in poker parlance. I think a lot of the shorties come through this week. I really do think a lot of the very short prices at the top of the table, anyway, come through. But Preston and in this game, Huddersfield, for me, are both very big prices if you want to take your draw no bet security on them as well. Ultimately, I just think it's the kind of game that the Championship throws up where you kind of go, that should be maybe even 17-10 your choice. Mm. So therefore, to get drawn over at 11-10, I'll take that.
Let's talk about one of the shorties, in inverted commas, in action this weekend. Bank holiday Monday, Brighton at home against Derby at the Amex. Brighton are 6-10. The draw 3-1, Derby in the market at 9-2. Brighton, as we've mentioned on this podcast, locked together with Burnley and Middlesbrough prior to the weekend on 87 points. That will, of course, all change going into Monday. But they'll be looking for definitely automatic promotion. 6-10 against the Derby side, who will, in all likelihood, be facing Hull in the playoffs.
There's just no way it changes for me, is there really? There's just zero way it changes. I think Brighton are great here.
Yeah, 6-10.
I do. I think 6-10 is a great price. Look at the goals they've been scoring as well. It's ridiculous. 3 past Charlton in the last game. Then 4 before that. 5 before that. 2-2-2-2. They're just scoring absolutely tons of goals. Now, Derby's last game, 1-1 draw. I was actually sitting with somebody preparing for a game I was covering, and they were actually watching that because they're a Derby fan. And he was just kind of shaking his head going, well, we're in the playoffs. I'm not surprised particularly. They've won at Bristol City, at Charlton, and then back on the 20th of February away at Brentford. Two teams who've been fighting relegation, one of whom didn't fight very well, and Brentford, who have recovered well late on, but at one point did seem like they were dropping like a stone. So why should I want to back Derby? You go further back, okay, they've won at Hull, they've won at Ipswich, which is always a tough place to go, I suppose, but then Preston, Reading, the MK Dons. How can you put that up for me against a side who've lost in the Championship anyway, who've lost at home this season just 3 times? They were in a row, and that was to Borough, Wolves and Ipswich. Other than that, they have been absolutely unbelievable. They've kept so many clean sheets, including, of course, 5 in their last 6 at home. And Derby, if they had something to go for, if they had something to play for, I could kind of get nervy about this, but they don't, so I'm not. And that's a pretty simple way of looking at it. Brighton race to 2 is 5-6. Now that again is a great play. Because again, let's go through how often Brighton have won that recently. They won it against Charlton, against QPR, against Fulham, against Forest, against Birmingham, against Burnley, against the MK Dons. That's seven in a row, Dave, if I've counted on my hands correctly. Seven in a row they've won that race to two. 5-6 looks brilliant, especially when you consider, again, away from home, Derby conceded two at Bristol City. In fact, lost the race to two there, didn't they? Conceded two at Cardiff against Rotherham in that 3-0 draw. Admittedly, they won the race to two, but still conceded three. Against Wolves, they lost it. Against QPR, they lost it. Against Burnley, they lost it. There is enough of it there. In terms of goal scorers, I've had a little look at Anthony Knockett. He's got, three in his last two at home, so always a very good price, and I think a very, very good signing as well by Brighton. 11-5 anytime. Tom Ahmed, of course, had a very good season at 19-20 anytime as well. Sidwell, you know, I've always quite liked the look of Steve Sidwell and goals, but, you know, his lack of goals generally this season will probably put you off 4-1 anytime if it doesn't. But again, you can't for me look away from Brighton, and you can't for me look away from goals either. As much as Brighton don't really concede at home, and they don't, over 2.5 at 10-11 is about right, especially when you consider, again, most recent Brighton games, 4-4-5-3-3-4-3. Overs is the play. Brighton are the play.
Are Brighton the... I know it's a difficult question to answer, but from a playing perspective, do you think they are the best team in the Championship or not?
No, I think Burnley are.
Okay.
I think Burnley are. I think Brighton... obviously had a early season, they weren't losing. They were winning a few games, of course, but they were drawing a heck of a lot, weren't they? Burnley have had a bit of a late season wobble, but if you said to me, who's been the team that's impressed you the most whenever you've seen them? And I've seen Burnley a fair few times now this season. I'd say Burnley. I'd say in terms of entertainment, Wednesday would be up there. And actually, you know, you can't say they're one of the best teams in the league, Fulham, but they play some entertaining stuff. It's just that they can't stop conceding. You know, the league's top goal scorers for much of the season, Fulham. They've been an incredible team to sort of watch. They just need to sort the back line out, which they've not managed to do.
They've got a couple of great strikers. Well, great in the context of the Championship, strikers up front, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Dembélé and McCormack. And again, they've had people like Tunnicliffe, who I like, Tom Kearney, who I mention every week, every year for the last 4 or 5 years of doing this podcast. There's some really good players in there, but they've got to sort that back line out. Anyway, for me, if you had to say who is the one team you would say more than any deserves to go up, I'd say Burnley. You know, they've scored the second most in the league this season, admittedly behind Brighton, of course, who have been very, very interesting indeed. And, you know, they've conceded 35, whereas Brighton have conceded 40. So I suppose in terms of that goal swing, as it says on the plus and minuses, it's 33-30. So I think Burnley have been the best team in the league this season.
That game we've just spoken about, 2:30 on Monday, Brighton 6-10, the draw 3-1, Derby 9-2. Let's talk about that team, Burnley in action at 4:45 on Monday. Burnley 3-10 to beat QPR, who were 10-1, with the draw in the market at 4-1. Enhanced odds, Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win was 3-4, enhanced to even money, and a junior Hoylett to score and QPR to win was 22-1. It's now 33-1. Burnley top of the Championship going into the weekend. QPR 13th. How did you see this, Pete?
Burnley. The great thing about these markets, obviously, because you've got the top three staggered kickoffs, haven't you?
Yes.
You've got Friday for Borough. You've got early kickoff for Brighton. You've got later kickoff for Burnley. Correct?
Correct.
Correct. Now, that for me is very interesting, but ultimately it doesn't change anything. Because say Borough lose, right? Or Borough draw, that takes them to 88.
Yep.
If Brighton lose, or Brighton draw, take them to 88. Or even if these two teams win, it doesn't change Burnley's goal, does it?
They've still got to win, haven't they?
They've still got to win, no matter what. So if you're having a bet on, say, the Saturday, I mean, you can obviously have a bet once you know the lay of the land on this game, but ultimately, it doesn't matter, does it?
It doesn't.
Because no matter what, every one of these three teams has to win. Simple as that. And Burnley are the team that are going to do that. Now, the big worrying thing here, of course, that the QPR have drawn so many games. 7 of the last 10 away from home have been draws. And Burnley actually have been hurt by draws of late. That's what's kind of slowed them down toward the end of the season. They've drawn 3 of their last 4 at home and won, 4 of the last 5 home games that they've won by 1-0. You know, it's not been kind of the bluster and the kind of the bombastic nature we've seen from Burnley at times this season. But why would I be backing QPR here? I can't do it. Because ultimately, again, QPR have nothing to play for. And interestingly, more interestingly than anything, a bit like Stoke in a way. They've got a lot of players who've got nothing to play for and aren't the type to play anyway. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get you.
So you've got some teams where you've got nothing to play for, but you've got a group of guys, a group of players who are the kind who don't care, who want to win every game, who've got that desire, who've got that fire. Now, one of the criticisms labelled at QPR this season is they do have, as they have done for a couple of years, certainly less so now than they have done for the last few years, but they have still got a group of players who, you know, maybe don't have that fire and that desire as much as they possibly should do. Yeah?
Yep.
And that's the argument with Stoke right now as well. Because as much as everyone goes, well, you know, there's Afellay, although I know he's injured, but Afellay, Boyan, Shaqiri, Arnautovic. Well, yeah, but as great as those guys are, would you want them in a battle with you?
I don't think you expect it from Stoke, do you, either? Because you see Stoke, or historically we've seen Stoke as a team that are gritty and dig in.
But that's what happens when you buy these kind of players.
Yes.
These kind of flair players, who are brilliant and have done well for Stoke this season. But, again, you don't want them at this stage of the season, really, do you? They don't have that kind of natural fire, if you will. And I look at that. I mean, I know there's some players in that team who always will have that natural fire and therefore natural bookings and red cards, like, for example, Henry. But the point is that you still look through this team and I don't think there is enough kind of... pointless battle grit, but you know what I mean? You know, the urge and the need to fight for no real prize.
Yeah.
Whereas for Burnley, they're full of players, you know, for example, like Joey Barton, Arfield, and so on and so forth, who have got something to play for and have the players who have the fire naturally to want to win it anyway. So Burnley to win is a certain bet for me. I actually quite like Burnley in under 2.5 match goals as well. I think it's quite an interesting one, this one, i.e., of course, you know, 1-0 or 2-0 is what that basically comes down to. They've been winning a lot of games 1-0, as I said earlier on, and 2-0 at home recently. Now, Burnley win and under 2.5 match goals is 2-1. Now, the amount of clean sheets they've kept and also the lack of desire in QPR suggests to me that if Burnley go in the lead, they'll be able to see it out with that, with very little kind of problems. Now, I know as well, obviously, Andre Gray and Vokes, what is it, 35 league goals between the two of them this season. That's pretty impressive. But I'd still rather just play Sam Vokes any time at 21-20 than Andre Gray at 4-6. Not for any reason other than it's a slightly bigger price and they're probably about as likely as each other to score.
Yep.
You know, I know that Gray has a lot more goals as such. But, you know, in terms of the context of the game, Joey Barnes in there, 13-5, has got a couple this season. Scott Arfield has got a couple this season. He's 7-4 any time. But for me, look at low on the goals. Look at possibly, I think anyway, a game where QPR don't really do a huge amount, even, for example, as someone as good as Charon Cherry, he's not the kind of player for this kind of situation. And look for me, ultimately, at 3-10 for Burnley.
Burnley to win to nil? 4-5?
Yeah, well, I'd rather play the 2-1, Dave, for the Burnley under 2.5.
Okay, yeah, because you think maybe 1-0, 2-0, and maybe no more than that if you're going low on the goals.
Yeah, and obviously, yeah, thinking low on the goals, yeah, because obviously what you're saying is gives you 3-0, 4-0, 5-0. Are they going to do that? I don't think the form suggests that, to be honest. I think all that matters is they get 3 points. And all that matters, certainly, if they've seen Brighton or Borough slip up with a draw or a loss in their games, then a win is all that will matter to Sean Dyche. You won't go, right, lads, Brighton and Borough drew their games. We're 1-0 up at half-time. I want everyone to just throw themselves forward.
Yeah, that won't happen, will it?
It's not going to happen, is it? Three points is all that matters, whether they see the other teams win or whether they see the other teams draw or lose. 3 points is all that matters, so play some kind of pragmatism play here.
Thank you, Pete. What's the nap this weekend? How are the naps doing?
We're very tight the last time we checked in. Alex, still waiting on Alex to do the updated table, but very tight the last time we checked in.
Okay. What's the best bet this weekend then on the coupon for you?
I look through a couple. Obviously, there's a lot of these shorties, Brighton, Burnley, Hull, Borough. I all do think we'll win their games. But actually, it came down to, hang on a second, as much as you think all that, what is your favourite bet of the weekend? And I just kept coming back to Preston at Reading.
Right.
Because, they should be second favs, no question about that, in terms of a winner. No problem with that. I'm not sitting here going, there should be odds on, because they shouldn't. But to get 13-8 draw, no bet, in a relatively meaningless game, where Preston have been really good, where, you know, Reading have been okay as well, probably underperformed a little bit as to where they want to be. But to get that kind of price on what is, in my opinion, a straight shootout, and you get your money back on a draw as well, I think my bet of the week would be Preston draw no bet at 13-8.
Very good. Preston DNB at 13-8 away from home against Reading. And Alex Dunn's nap is Rotherham to win and both teams to score against Blackburn. 15-4 Rotherham to win and both teams to score. Put that together as a double. That pays 11.46-1 if you wish to do that. Pete, thank you for your company.
Thank you. It's interesting that Rotherham bet, you know. I mean, obviously, incredible under Neil Warnock at Rotherham this late season. Blackburn, of course, have announced that Paul Lambert will leave at the end of the season as well, which is interesting. Blackburn, a club just caught in complete stasis at the moment, aren't they? Yeah, it's interesting. I did look at Rotherham because their outright price was pretty interesting, actually.
And you know they're going to keep on fighting, don't you? That's the thing.
Well, the thing is as well that when a team avoids relegation, often what happens is the club will try and bring in a lot of new faces the next season to try and get them, you know, away from any kind of worries of that. So there'll be a fair few in that team playing for their futures as well, I'd argue.
Yeah.
13-10 was always all right. I think it was 13-8 when I saw it a day or two ago. But 13-10 Rotherham, yeah, that's an interesting bet, that. I mean, honourable mentions for Leeds at 8-13, who've been in generally very good form of late. Ipswich at 13-20, it's a short price for a side who've been a little bit weird. And I did consider Fulham at 2-1 as well. But yeah, ultimately 13-8 drawn, a bet Preston the way to go.
You can follow Pete Farries on Twitter, @Pete_Farries. You can follow myself, @DKellner. You can follow Alex Dunn as well, @AlexDunn0307.
Some really good information about some muffins I baked yesterday, Dave.
Is there on there as well? As well as your top championship tips?
Yesterday I just thought, you know when you get that feeling with breakfast, I'm just bored of this cereal, I'm bored of this tea cake, or I'm bored of this toast. I was like, I want to make something nice to have for breakfast that's not like disgusting and really sugary, but just nice. So I looked up on the internet and I found a muffin recipe, and I was like, oh, avocado and banana, I can have that. I like that.
Wow.
So yesterday I made them, and I was inordinately chuffed. I mean, I was very pleased.
Is the photos up there then, Pete, or not?
Sorry?
Are there photos up there or not?
No, there's not. I'd like to put some on, but the issue was that my girlfriend came home last night and said, what's that smell?
Right.
I said, why don't you go and have a look in the fridge and find out? And she looked in and she went, oh, wow, you've baked muffins. Fantastic. What's in them? I explained. And she took a bite, and I've never seen her face go so white in my entire life. I'd not bitten into them. And while I think the flavours are okay,
right,
the texture, and this is actually the phrase that she used, she said, it's like biting into a duvet.
Right, okay. So maybe not quite light enough and fluffy enough then, do you think?
No. And I whisked for what must have been 30, 40 seconds, Dave.
A whole 30 or 40 seconds.
So, yeah. But anyway, more on that. More muffin news over the summer. Because up until the Euros, I've not got a great deal to do.
Check out Pete's Twitter handle for more muffin tales and, of course, his championship bets as well. @Pete_Farries. You can follow myself @DKellner. Make sure you check out all William Hill's podcasts, audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. Check us out on iTunes again as well by typing in William Hill. And we'll be back with the championship final week of the, before we get stuck into the playoffs next week. Thank you for listening to the podcast and we'll pick it up again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.